is as relaxed and answerable as simply as you can.
Listening to Nova, a show about science fiction and science fiction's impact on the world. Today's episode is brought to you by robots and the inevitable, inescapable robot apocalypse. Depending on who you are and what you read, the robot apocalypse may or may not weigh heavily on your mind. Here are certain factors which may influence your reaction. You've watched Terminator. You've watched Ex Machina. Or you've watched The Matrix, iRobot, 2001 A Space Odyssey, Metropolis, WALL-E, Alien, Battlestar Galactica, heck, the Transformer movies. I could go on. Or perhaps you've witnessed the real effects of robots on families. Donald Trump recently promised to bring back American jobs, lost to what he calls a massive deindustrialization.
And I'm asking all companies to keep their jobs in America, and we will work to make America a better environment for workers.
This is a real concern. The U.S. has lost over 7 million manufacturing jobs in the last 35 years. Much of this is to jobs going overseas, but most of them, the answer isn't so simple for the others. They've been replaced by a growing force of automated machine labor. Today on the show, I want to talk about robots and where our fear of them comes from. We'll first look at the real threat of robot labor replacing humans. Next, we'll explore how artificial intelligences could surpass human intelligences, and how one science fiction author proposed a foolproof system to guard against robots rising up against us. Finally, we'll discuss the problems of giving robots human bodies. Does anyone really think that's a good idea? As it may be so that artificial beings with intelligence represent the first non-human species with which we can communicate, much more should be made of the inevitable clash of our alien cultures. Because maybe it could go well. Back to the changes that have occurred in the last 35 years. Here's where it helps to have read some science fiction. To put things in perspective, as you and I know, a lot can change in 35 years. That's the exact amount of time that George Orwell chose to put between his current day and the imagined future dystopia of 1984. That's the amount of time between the rise of the cassette tape and the decline of the CD. And technologies are only expiring faster and faster. How can workers keep up? Here are some stats that may put you on the side of blue-collar workers, because it's not just blue-collar, unskilled workers that are being replaced. Vinod Khosla, a billionaire from the computing industry, said recently that 80% of IT jobs could easily be replaced by automation. A recent study conducted by Oxford University declared that 830,000 jobs in the UK will be lost by 2030. And an additional 1.3 million jobs in administrative work have a 77% chance of disappearing completely. One classic science fiction novel predicting these statistics is Player Piano by Kurt Vonnegut. This was Vonnegut's first novel, published in 1952. It imagines a workforce almost completely replaced by automation. There's simply no work to be done by humans. The machine labor is efficient, and it just makes sense. Vonnegut imagines how people would live in such a radically changed world, and how they might rebel and rise up against it. Some humans with particularly high IQs can still manage to get work. It's the unskilled laborers that have been ruined as a result of this shift. Vonnegut wrote in response to the real changes that he was seeing during his time working for General Electric. A quote from Vonnegut. "Player piano was my response to the implications of having everything run by little boxes. The idea of doing that, you know, made sense, perfect sense. To have a little clicking box make all the decisions wasn't a vicious thing to do. But it was too bad for all the human beings who got their dignity from their jobs." In player piano, there isn't an artificial intelligence per se. It's all brute labor, and you could say that he hit the mark. We can see the same apprehensions in America or in the UK currently. There's a sudden anxiety about being human that wasn't there before. That it may not be enough. What Vonnegut didn't predict in player piano is that robots are being primed to replace a lot more than brute labor. Several futurists like Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking have fervently argued that the research into artificial intelligence may be the biggest threat facing our world today. They are not without evidence. As of now, there is much to worry about. Research being done behind closed doors, and the reality of intelligences programmed by those in the financial sector for pure financial gain. This is a far cry from Asimov's venerated robotic laws, that robots should always prize human lives beyond all else. Even in Asimov's day, the computer was already capable of performing more complex computational tasks than humans. But at that time and for the decades that were to follow, these feats were completed as extensions of ourselves. Distinct human coding closely instructed each task. It felt like the computer was wholly under human command. The computer's intelligence was part of the nebulous growing human intelligence, like a tendril extending into the unknown. The fear of AI is that this tendril will be wise enough to detach itself, that it will begin to probe curiosities of its own devising, that the computer will extrapolate from the given code, it will learn to reason and learn on its own agency. The fear is free will. Around the time that he wrote iRobot, Isaac Asimov was well acquainted with the theme of a robotic uprising. He felt that the idea of a creator being violently overthrown by its creation was well worn. This idea goes back far before Frankenstein. Asimov credits biblical and Grecian myths for their early versions of this same story, where kings or gods received oracles that their sons would one day cause their downfall. Asimov felt that there must be some way to ensure that our creation of robots wouldn't end in our ensured destruction. So he devised a set of three laws that could be implanted into a robot brain that made it impossible for such an uprising to occur. The three laws are as follows. 1. A robot may not injure a human being, or through inaction, allow a human being to come to harm. 2. A robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. And 3. A robot must protect its own existence, as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second laws. These three laws seemed so essential to Asimov that in his fictional universe, no robotic brain could possibly be created without them. You have to understand how unique and daring this idea was. Asimov successfully created a series of robot stories that managed to be thrilling without the threat of human death around every corner. Every robot stereotype is cleverly subverted, and through this, Asimov is free to explore fascinating mysteries about the psychology of a creature so bound to these laws. He relished exploiting loopholes created by the phrasing or order of the laws. And there's drama and suspense. But in Asimov's original robot series, no human is killed or injured, at least not purposefully, by a robot. However, in typical SF fashion, even robots who can't possibly injure us still manage to destroy our humanity. Published in 1946, Jack Williamson's novella, With Folded Hands, features similarly benign robots who follow a prime directive similar to the three laws. They've been programmed to serve and obey and guard men from harm. Sounds like a good idea. But the prime directive is soon taken much further than anticipated. The robots remove every possible danger from human contact. They take over every job. They prohibit humans from even using sharp silverware. Soon, all that is left for humans to do is sit with folded hands. Asimov explored similar threads in his robot series, but never to quite the same intensity. I can't say the same for the movie version of iRobot, the one with Will Smith, which manages to turn Asimov's unique vision into a typical robot apocalypse film, which was a huge disappointment. I wonder, could Isaac Asimov's unique 66-year-old laws instruct us today? Could they show us how to create peaceful, safe robots, the dream? Obviously, I revere Asimov in these laws, but if you look on the web, you'll find plenty of articles which dispute that they could ever work in practice. And certainly, they could never be used for warfare if these laws were implemented. Some futurists have taken the laws very seriously. The South Korean government, for example, has long been considering a robot ethics charter that would regulate robots in accordance with the three laws. So we'll see. But the current creation of robots happens under so many different roofs, and each is created by humans with different ethics structures. All the robots in Asimov's world are created and regulated by one branch of the government, U.S. robots. But governments as a whole have mostly ignored the ethical problems that robots bring to light. So it's pretty unlikely that Asimov's laws will ever become a reality. And I can't lie, that makes me pretty sad. One futurist has made a recent claim that by the year 2050, human-robot sex will be more prevalent than human-human. I'm not sure if I believe this claim, but we'll see. For now, I wonder, how are we being replaced so thoroughly? Apparently, robots are not only getting smarter, they're getting more beautiful and desirable. And we're staying the same. Hollywood in particular has been very interested in presenting an embodied AI. And all the dramatic situations stemming from the fact that the AI presented look nearly indistinguishable from real humans. Films postulate that humans will lust or feel attraction to these bodies and their innocence. Think about it, aren't robots infantilized adults in a sense? I see this sort of innocent sexualized AI in films like Ex Machina, AI artificial intelligence, and the show Humans. This topic isn't at all isolated from the previous two. Physical capability, intelligence, and beauty are all inextricably linked in our popular representation of the robot, especially the female robot. In film, the female robot is irresistible and dangerous. Alex Garland's 2015 film Ex Machina is an especially interesting study of this phenomenon. The film focuses on an oblivious programmer summoned to perform a Turing test on Ava, an artificial being. While a human form might seem like an afterthought to one wishing to perform a Turing test, which seeks to find out whether an AI's answers to predefined questions might actually be mistaken for a human's answers. But Ava's body is the main attraction in Ex Machina. Ava's shapely, see-through body, functional genitalia, and beautiful face at first seem superfluous. In a real Turing test, the AI in question should be hidden from the tester. But Nathan, Ava's creator, declares that a test with a hidden Ava would prove too easy. If the tester were to only hear Ava's voice, she would obviously pass for human. But I don't think this is the case. There is no way that Ava could pass for a mature human. Ava's speech pattern is elite, but undoubtedly juvenile. She asks Caleb a range of questions, from his favorite color to, "Do you like me?" and "Do you want to be my friend?" Ava doesn't seem capable of simulating maturity. She declares her age to be 1 and provides precise profit numbers for Nathan's Blue Book, his invention that's similar to Google, on cue, as well as formal definitions for popular human phrases. In my mind, it would have been a sensical fix to make Ava into a child. But her endowed sexuality is central to the film. And even her seemingly juvenile answers are a part of her intelligence, as it turns out. She easily manipulates the male characters of the film for her own benefit, and she eventually manages to escape her captivity, unconcerned with the human toll involved. Ex Machina was hailed as the smartest science fiction film of the year, if not of the generation. Critics hailed its inventiveness and intelligence when dealing with the concept of AI. I liked the film when it first came out, but upon a closer look, I believe Ex Machina has problems, and it is incredibly unique for a couple of reasons. First, it fits perfectly into a larger trend of films that present female AIs as deriving their whole intelligence from their sexuality. These problems come up because female AIs are designed by male inventors or programmers, which makes their femininity central to their objective. Also, we still haven't escaped the time-worn cliche of the creation destroying its creator. Have we pummeled it into your system enough that this is what happens when you create a being? All parents must eventually come to this realization. However one may try to program a being, it can at any moment become independent of its creator. Is it natural that robots should want to destroy us? How should human society approach this complex issue? I think first, collectively. This isn't one parent giving birth to one child. The potential consequences for AI are much greater. This is all of humanity giving birth to a new species. The questions that arise are overwhelming. It probably isn't smart to give this new species an identical human body. This, at least to me, is clear, and I think most AI films, with their numerous problems resulting from giving an AI a human body, they also make it pretty clear. I think that we will give them human bodies in the end. We just can't shake the allure of creating in our own image. It's too seductive. And why aren't we regulating this? Why? When millions of jobs have been lost and AI is this concrete, real problem, why is AI still ignored by many influencers and policymakers outside of the futurist community? Almost like if they ignore it, it will go away. Perhaps it's just too overwhelming and scary to take on. I'm pretty sure that's why Donald Trump just wants to bring our jobs back. When Obama recently commented that those jobs are gone forever. I propose that we enact fair, reasonable laws to regulate AI. With the assistance of scientists, futurists, and science fiction authors. Because I think Asimov had the right idea. And certainly film, with its ability to influence how the public perceives AI, could flex some of its powers in creating responsible vision. We've had enough dismal outlooks on robots to last us a lifetime. I'd really like to see something new. Something to actually guide us through the mysterious and frightening future. You've been listening to Novum on Jam Radio. I'd like to announce that our show is now on iTunes. If you'd like to leave us a review there, that would be much appreciated. I'd love to hear what you think of the show and the episodes. Of course, there are many unique visions of artificial intelligence that have come out recently. Her as a great example of something very unique without the distraction of a human body. If you have any of your favorite artificial intelligence films, please feel free to leave me a comment on Facebook or iTunes. Our music today was composed by Christopher McIntyre, who also edits our show. And all of our graphics are created by Cheryl Brigham. I'm Ari Brin, back next week with more Novum.